You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
It's a few days after January 17th, 1992, Muhammad's 50th birthday and my 40th. I brought my six-year-old son Isaac with me in our old Volvo to visit the champ at his farm in Michigan, because I wanted Isaac to meet Ali and Ali, the perennial cosmic child, to play with Isaac. But it's also because I'm hoping to expose Isaac to Muhammad's magic, to provide him with some kind of safe place inside him so that Isaac won't have as tough a life as I had. While we've been at the farm, Ali has played with Isaac hour after hour, doing magic tricks, scaring him with ghost stories, chasing him around the house, hiding behind furniture, jumping out to tickle Isaac. I used to sort of wonder when I was going to quit playing, Ali says. Used to sort of worry about it. Now I know I'm never going to quit. All through the time we've been at the farm, the wind has been rattling the branches of trees. It's been snowing just enough to make the driveway slippery. Muhammad has picked up his baby son, Assad. Holding him in his arms, he's escorted us out to the car. And Muhammad's wearing his short-sleeved shirt and his slick-soled city shoes. Leather soles! His balance is not good, maybe especially holding Assad. And I'm concerned he might fall and fall with the baby. As I turn the key in the ignition, Muhammad closes our doors. There's a video camera in the back seat. I grab it and push the power button. Ali sees the camera, opens Isaac's door, snatching up my son.
Here's the next champion. The Great White Hope.
You're the Great White Hope, Isaac.
This man will win the crown in 2020. Look at the face. 2020. He will be the new White Hope. I did not say dope, I said hope. And I will be the manager. I'll be 93. And we will be the greatest of that day of all time.
The greatest of all times. Ali places my laughing son back in his seat, drops Assad to the ground, holds his hand while pointing at the lens of the camera. Watch my feet, he says. He turns his back to Isaac, the camera, and me, and takes about 10 shuffling, great-grandfatherly steps. There's a moment when the car engine seems to stop. The wind doesn't move. The air isn't cold. Looking over his left shoulder, Ollie raises his arms perpendicular to his sides.
I want to show you the power of the mind, powerful concentration, both feet shall leave you down.
Then he levitates about 3 inches above the snowy driveway. And although I've seen him perform this illusion many, many times, I turn to my son and smile as the most famous man in the world rises from the earth once more. What is a moment? How is it captured? The speed of a shutter? What does this fraction of a second mean to Muhammad Ali? Bedecked and all white as he leans across to fake kiss me on the cheek. This glowing, remarkable being whose name will likely be known and shared long after he and you and I cease to breathe and eat and fuck and sleep and dream. Trillions of microorganisms live less than 1 second. Hundreds of blind Greenland sharks swimming right now in frigid, murky northern oceans have been living for up to 500 years. Bristlecone pines high up on arid Western American mountains, more than 5,000. Humans developed written language and music 5,500 years before you and I were born. Homo sapiens, we, all of us, our direct ancestors, have existed for roughly 300 millennia. Life on our planet, 3.7 billion years. Stars, solar systems, and galaxies swirl and evolve and metamorphose and die over tens of billions of years. Everywhere we look, everyone and everything we've known or will ever know is composed of atoms from stars that died billions of years before our sun came to exist. My friend Muhammad Ali has told me time and time again that life ain't nothing but a vapor. These things said, what in the world could this dream of a moment actually mean? This moment in which I'm standing in front of a 35mm camera beside the greatest of all times. Episode 8, We're All Ghosts. Magic. Muhammad Ali's magic. Fathers and sons' magic. I think about how many families must have been influenced by Muhammad. I've been lucky enough to see some of that in person, where you can see the generations, somebody who Muhammad knew back in the 60s or 70s. And it's the grandkids that are now hanging out with him. The last time I saw Rahman after Muhammad passed, I said to him, man, you're looking more like your brother.
I'm a very, very emotional person. I'm going to miss him. I'm about to cry.
He just got these huge tears and just started weeping. It makes me think about missing my own dad and how at the moment of his death, I felt him pass into me. And it startled me. I did not expect that. He became part of me. He entered me, and he's still there. I'm pretty darn happy right where I am and what I've got with my own kids. But boy, I sure do wish I'd had it with my father as well. I was fortunate to be with Muhammad and Cash, his dad, Cassius Marcellus Clay Sr., on one of the last times Muhammad saw Cash. You could see Muhammad become the father in many respects. Cash was much smaller than Muhammad. He was basically, I guess, my size. And he draped his arm around his father's shoulder while we were standing there. And they walked down a sidewalk away from me where I'm just watching their backs. I had the feeling of closure to it, a piece of art even. And it made me think about my own relationship with my dad. Years later, I consider that and I can see myself with Isaac. These generations, this fathers and sons stuff, dads are fairly stoic and removed. And I feel very fortunate that I'm not. Muhammad with young Assad became a quite good father. Earlier when he was boxing, when he was the world's most celebrated person and very seldom at home, he wasn't. He was tender with his kids, but he wasn't necessarily there to be available. With Assad, Muhammad told me that he wanted to be there for his son, and he was. With Isaac, everywhere we went with Muhammad, Muhammad made sure that if we were in a car, that Isaac was on his lap the whole time, would be right next to him, and Muhammad always wanted to go somewhere. The thing that strikes me time and time again is that the very first time Isaac saw him, Muhammad pointed to both of us and up at me, then down at Isaac. You'll remember this when you're an old, old man. And guess what? I'm about there now. And indeed, it's deep inside me, that moment. Isaac talks about it all the time. It's extraordinary that way.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Today we've had my best pal in the world with us, my son Isaac, who in some way or another thinks of Muhammad Ali as Uncle Ali, Uncle Muhammad. And it'd be great to just sort of have a little remembrance with my man here and share our adventure with Ali.
Well, yeah, you'd stopped at school to pick me up, and I didn't really know why. You came in, you said, hey, we're going on a road trip. I was usually down to go anywhere. You were famous for jumping in the car and taking road trips. It was always something fun on the other end of it, or just spending time with you in the car. We hop in the car, and we just go hours and hours, talking, listening to music, playing road games like the license plate game and counting cows. I want to say we stopped in Louisville.
We went and visited Ollie's mother.
It struck me that Mrs. Clay's house was just so modest. It was just like neighbor right next to you down the street. I don't think she was doing well. She may have been just kind of sitting in a chair, and she was pleasant, very sweet. We packed up and kept on going and ended up in Berrien Springs, and we pull up to Ollie's farm at the gate. At this point, you still hadn't really told me who you were seeing. I figured it out when the intercom said that Ali was not there yet and to come back tomorrow. So we stayed the night in a hotel and came back the next day. And we show up at the house, and Lonnie invites us in with her big brown smiling face, all freckles and all, and invited us in for tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches, just like a neighbor or family member. Then Asad, Ali and Lonnie's son, is there. I think he's 2. I'm 6 years old, but he's already as big as I am. And we're all just hanging out and eating. Then Ollie shuffles down the stairs. This is my first time meeting Ollie, and very different than what I remember seeing in those old fights that we used to watch up in the attic at the Miller Street house. He was just glowing and vibrant and fast. Watching him move and wondering, gosh, is he going to fall down? But then he shuffles over and picks me right up, starts playing around, growling in my ear, me up just like he would a niece or nephew or grandson. And that's the vibe that I got, was like, I was at my grandparents' house. Seeing Ali like that, very different than what I'd seen on tapes. It was striking, but you're a kid, you're going with the flow. He had this fake thumb with this red handkerchief, and I remember him showing me a sleight of hand stuff, and of course I know how that works now, but I was like totally enthralled by that.
Do you remember him chasing you around the house, physically chasing you around the room?
Frankenstein. Eight people.
Well, yeah, he did this like Frankenstein kind of thing, and I'm running around the couch, and he'd stick his arms out like he was Frankenstein and groan. It's like you're playing with another kid.
Yeah.
Really big kid. That was Ali.
Do you remember him picking you up to record and the things he said?
He told me I was going to be the champion in 2020, that I'd be king of the world or something along those lines. I used to kind of feel as though that was some bit of prophecy, and I wondered about it. 2020 rolled around, and I'm like, man, what is this year going to bring?
Do you remember the levitation?
Ali was so good with his illusions, even at that point, which is striking for somebody who has Parkinson's, because their movements aren't very fluid. They have balance issues. Parkinson shrinks everything, right? It makes it hard to do fine motor movements. And Ali was so good at that kind of stuff. It was just incredible, allowing us to come up there and hang out with him and his family over that course of 2 days. You know, I just developed this close connection with him. I remember getting back in the car, and he had walked us outside, and we stood and talked in the driveway for a few minutes, but it was cold. We weren't going to hang out too long. He packed me up in the car, and I want to say he put me in the front seat. We're packed up and we're ready to go. And you get in the car and you start it up and you start driving away. And I don't know what it was, but something compelled me to unbuckle the seatbelt and climb over the seat. And I remember getting in the back of the station wagon and looking through the back glass. And I wasn't even looking at you, but you just sensed something. You sensed that I was emotional and I was crying. And I was just tears kind of running down my face. And you said, "What's going on, buddy?" And I said, "It just doesn't make sense how something like that can happen to someone as cool as Ali is and as kind." That whole experience certainly carries with me. I'm a physical therapist assistant, so I treat people who had surgeries or they've got balance issues. I get flashbacks of Ali, and the compassion just flows through me, and I try to make deeper connections with people. That experience for me was special. It's always striking to me that everybody, young or old, all have these stories. Somehow Ali has affected their life or inspired them in one way or another.
I remember that first experience. It was a field trip. It had to be educational.
Yeah, we got back, and I don't think I was really supposed to miss school, but you had a really interesting way of pulling it off with my teachers and basically setting up a show and tell kind of day where I think we even brought that video, that VHS tape, then showed them the VHS tape of Ali. We talked about that experience and talked about Ali, and kids drew up these cards, drew pictures for him. I hope that those got to him. And for weeks after that, these kids were out there throwing punches at each other, and you know, I am the greatest. It was funny.
Like a butterfly now that he doesn't stink like a bee.
Those cards, I mailed them, and I know that Muhammad got them. I set yours aside a little differently. You may not remember the one you made. Do you remember the drawing you made for him?
No, I don't.
And he mailed it back, and he mailed back one that I've never given you that he drew. Maybe this will be a good time to give it to you.
Oh my gosh.
Ali the artist, his dad was a painter. Brother Rahman is a painter. And Muhammad was a pretty good sketcher. He loved to do these little cartoon drawings. And you did a little cartoon drawing of him in blue ballpoint pen. And he's in the center of the ring. And you wrote it as Muhammad. Let me spell with a T. And
Muhammad.
All kinds of
other. With a T?
No.
Yeah.
You put Muhammad the winner in a cartoon bubble beside his head. With his arms over his head. I think you may have drawn the guy flat beside him as the loser.
I'm getting some slight memory of this now. Yeah.
Muhammad, the winner. You drew spectators kind of around the ring. Well, Muhammad did the same thing. What he sent you back that I've never shown you, his own drawing of himself in a ring.
Gosh.
And love Muhammad. I'll frame it and give it to you.
Oh man. No, I'm anxious now. Hi, Craig.
I have fond memories of time spent with my dad and his dad, my grandfather, who I was very close to. And I'm getting a little choked up talking about it. I mean, it must have been wonderful for you to share this experience with your dad.
Yeah. I don't have children, but I feel as though if I did have children, I would definitely want to try to create a similar experience somehow.
I think for me, I always wanted to make your world larger.
And you did. Yeah, you definitely did that. That wasn't the only road trip that we went on. We would just pick up and get in the car and go to the mountains. And we did that fairly often. And I was always ready. I wanted to see what was out there. That expanded my worldview. Especially spending time with Ali expanded my worldview. He was of a different culture, of a different religion. That was a profound moment because I'd only had exposure to the world within my own four walls and within my small city that I live in and my neighborhood. And getting out like that, it makes me want to do that now more. Just like you stopping on your way through Louisville, you didn't know what was going to come next when you met Ali and developed a personal relationship with him. And you never would have had these experiences had you not taken that risk.
It is a risk.
That's what I take with me when I'm out there as a musician now. I talk to everybody that experienced, helped me develop relationships to take me places that I may have never gotten a chance to go otherwise.
I don't think I would have done that had Muhammad Ali not been in my life. From a distance as a kid and then as an adult, I don't think I would have been that adventurous.
What does it mean to you that Ali had such a profound impact on your father's life?
It means everything. He's spent a lifetime living in the doubt of Ali. That's the way of. It's in the footsteps. Through meeting him, you opened doors that you never would have. You followed your dream. You became a writer. Ali gave you the confidence to follow that dream. And that means everything. It also trickled down to me. The way that I've been influenced by you and the life that you've led, the way that you've used writing has inspired me to read a lot as a kid. And I feel like that helped a lot. Just expanding your mind and opening doors that never would have been opened otherwise. My dad, I think, spent time with him in early 2016, maybe January or February. So this was only a few months before he passed. He was a bit of a shell, but there was still spark. I know what it does to you. It just literally sucks the life out of you. It's just an incredible what he did, and to travel to all these places and meet with people constantly, because you're wiped. When you have Parkinson's, you're fighting that rigidity all day. And it just takes so much out of you to see that he was still very actively a humanitarian was incredible.
So he was dead on when he said, when you're an old man, you're going to remember this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
To not only play, but to compose some music for this series dedicated to Ollie. How much of a hoot is that for you?
Oh, man. It's really cool. I try to dig deep on the stuff that I'm doing, and I try not to think that I'm writing so much as just close my eyes and free flow, move, shape your movement around what's happening. I just try to feel and let the music move through me rather than make the music or compose it.
That's the best creativity, when it just flows out of you.
Yeah, and it's funny because your body shakes and you have this out-of-body experience. I'm a big softie. There's times I'll be playing and it's just hitting me so hard that tears start coming out and I'm just crying, because at that point, I'm not controlling what's happening. It's just moving through me, and it's this very spiritual experience. There's not anything in the world like it. Every time I play music, I chase that. When something truly organic happens and you're in a group of people and you're just dialed. Everybody's dialed and you're in a groove. And there's almost times like you just close your eyes and you stop thinking, and then it just flows. And I imagine that maybe that's the way writing is. My dad talks about that a lot of times. He'll just make things quiet, walk in the woods, be inspired by what's around him, and let it happen and let it flow through him. And I imagine that with Ali, that was the same way. There were times that he just let it go and he would just move and flow.
I'm certain that he'd be thrilled that little boy he met way back when was making music for him.
Oh, man. When my dad approached me about that and said that was something that he wanted to do and that it was a possibility that it was going to happen, my heart skipped a couple beats. It's a little overwhelming, but the honor of that, because this in my mind is the pinnacle. We're reaching ahead with a lot of the stories that you have with Ali, finally getting it down in a visceral way.
This is one of those things you don't ever say to your own son, okay? At least I don't think I've said it to you. When you were born, in particular, every time I look at you and we're close, you're right in front of me, I see my father. I see you. I see every detail of you. I feel your entire life from conception to now. But you have my dad's eyes, and you're tender like my father. And as you say, it ain't hard to make you cry. And obviously, you got that from me, sir. Yeah. But I look in those eyes, and the shape of them and the depth of them, it's my daddy. When you were born, the very first moment I looked at you, I saw my father. And it was straight up hallucinogenic. I saw my grandfather, and generations spilled out of you. Just tumbled out of you over and over again, people I could never possibly know. And there they were, a dozen, two dozen generations just went further and further and further back inside you. I'd never had that experience before. I've never had it since. And it is one of the most powerful experiences of my life. And related to Muhammad, we carry him on through us. and we carry him on through you and your friends and your wife and her family. And that's everywhere in the world. It's everywhere in the world with that man. I've been around the world more than some people, and everywhere I went, it was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali. Muhammad
Ali. I wish I'd gotten more time to spend with
my dad. Omar. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I do have very vague memories.
You were.
You know, but I was young. I think, God, how old was I? Three when he died? I can remember.
Three. You were three when my dad died.
Sitting on his lap.
Ride the little horsey, go downtown.
Ride a little horsey. You'd bouncing you on his knee. And I think those memories were reinforced because you did that. We talked about him. And I never got a chance to know him as a man. I'm fortunate both of my mom's parents lived until I was in my 30s. And I got to know them as people and love them. But I really wish I'd gotten a chance to know Pawpaw. It just sounded like such a cool and kind-hearted person.
Yeah, kindest person I've ever known.
But I mean, you and I have had quite a ride. I've been there with a lot of moves and ups and downs in your life. Now having two younger half-brothers and you getting married again and living here and there. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. We always seem to go somewhere that's quiet. And I love that. I like separating from society sometimes and just having time to spend, even if we just sit in silence. It's time that we get to spend together. And
well, I think that's true.
Sometimes words aren't necessary. I've never hugged anybody that's hugged me tighter.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's me with you. When Muhammad passed in 2016.
That was a bad year.
What were your emotions? How did you feel when you found out that he had passed?
This is going to sound selfish and weird, but I thought of my dad. My immediate thought was, oh my God, how's my dad going to handle this? Because he had just lost his very good friend, Charles, his Great Pyrenees had just died. Man, 2016 was rough. Not to be selfish, but yeah, when I heard of Ali passing, it was a shock in a way. I knew that he wasn't doing well. But my thoughts immediately turned to my dad, and I thought, God, he's going to be a wreck.
From our Melbourne headquarters, this is 7 News with Jennifer Kite.
Good evening. The world has lost a legend with the death of Muhammad Ali.
Once named Sportsman of the Century.
The greatest is gone. Muhammad Ali, 3-time heavyweight champion and arguably the world's most famous athlete.
This week, we lost an icon, somebody who was a personal hero of mine, somebody who ended up transforming not just the world of sports, but the world as a whole.
My nickname was Fetus. I was pushed into lockers and locked up inside them. My mom had died. Lynn and I are divorcing. My dad died. The conscientious objector. The cosmic child.
I'm still the greatest of all time.
World heavyweight champion.
Where can I come back?
May come and go.
Greatest of all time. I must be the greatest.
But in Muhammad Ali's case.
And you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here.
This will never be so.
Almost lose me.
Because forever.
But I had to come back.
The man. He will always be.
Wake up, put some on it.
Yes. No, he never makes
the people's champion. For you and to me.
My man, Ali.
I'm the miracle man.
God bless Muhammad Ali. Peace and love to all his family. Prime Minister David Cameron in the last few moments has tweeted Muhammad Ali was not just a champion of the ring, he was a champion of civil rights and a role model for so many people. And that's echoed indeed.
There was a boy.
A very strange, enchanted boy.
Isaac and I are upstairs, spending the night in the Berrien Springs house, sleeping in a massive king-size bed. I feel myself being tugged awake by the streaming, watery light of a full moon, tugged to a window opposite the bed. I look out the window and down onto the pond, the same pond where the sheep on the Ali farm drink. And there's Muhammad, his back turned to me, dressed in white, exactly like that first night I spent with him at his mom's house, dressed entirely in white, glowing under the moon, standing at the edge of the pond, looking out across the water. I sense him getting ready to raise a foot and step into the pond. Then I wake from the dream. The first time I visited the Ali farm, back in 1988, Muhammad suddenly, inexplicably asked me a question. "You believe in ghosts?" He says, "No, no, no, no," I say. "I'll show you a ghost. I'll make you believe." From his big magic trunk, which he keeps on the wall beneath the stairway that leads up to the main part of the house, he pulls a thin white cloth, which he places on a coffee table. He waves his hands across the cloth and says, "Arise, ghost, arise." The cloth quavers and a peak appears in the middle. "Told you there's a ghost in the room," he says. I ask, "Do you believe in ghosts?" "Do you?" Ali says. I hesitate. "Yes," I say. I study his face. He doesn't seem surprised. "You're a ghost," I say. "Or I guess I mean the images people have of you, what they and me and even you say you represent. Those are ghosts. And I'm a ghost too. The way I feel a need to get something about you on paper, to write the best story in me and have it carry on after my body is gone. That's being a ghost. But it's not the only way I'm one. We're all ghosts. Walking, talking spirits, all of us, in countless ways, all the time." Man, that's powerful, heavy. And then he looks at me seriously. He levels his eyes, and quietly he says, "I always knew somebody like you would come along." Man, I immediately, wow, I puff all up. But then I see the smile, and I know, once again, he's got me. He says,
"You're not as dumb as you look."
"You're not as dumb as you look."
What is happening? I can't believe I'm here. My dad was Superman. My dad is not supposed to die. Of course, I knew my dad was suffering from a condition for now over 30 years. But for some reason, I never even thought about it happening because it was a painful thought. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's. He always said, "Now my life is starting." So when it finally happened, I was like, "This is not happening." At the end, we were blessed to spend one-on-one time with my dad and talk to him. At the end, he couldn't speak. I know he could hear us. So each one of us, the kids and the grandkids alike, we were able to really talk to him one-on-one and tell him whatever we wanted to tell him. My selfish mode popped in and was like, "Don't leave, please don't leave me. I'm not ready for my dad to..." That was my friend. And I wasn't ready to not hug him and kiss him and laugh. At some point, I had to say, "It's okay. We're going to be fine." But I told my dad, "I would carry on your life and legacy to the best of my ability, I'll try to carry on. And I've been trying ever since. My dad held on longer than he was supposed to. Even the doctors were like, how is he still here? Because he was waiting for my brother. He was waiting for his son, Muhammad Ali Jr., to arrive. During that span of time, Imam Zaid was reading from the Quran for hours and hours and hours. He didn't take a break. He didn't drink anything. He didn't eat. He was just reading from the Quran. It was the most beautiful send-off that I've ever seen in my life. Daddy was listening to the Quran, the words of the Almighty, up until his last breath. And he didn't take a break. He didn't stop. He was constantly reading the Quran. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever witnessed in my life. Then they had to shut the machines off. Daddy still hung in there. He was able to say goodbye to his son and everyone. And when we all were leaving, because the staff had to prepare the body, you had to be covered in a Muslim shroud that you, and Imam Zaid had to be there to make sure it was done according to our tradition. And I looked at Zaid and I said, take care of my father. He said, I'm not going to leave his side.
It's an honor to be able to assist, because these families, we have to do a lot more for even Malcolm X's daughters. This is African American royalty, and they have a right over us. As a community, we've fallen short. These are global icons that came from humble beginnings and were elevated by God, Almighty God, and had a global impact and a global reach that extends to this very day. To have an opportunity with members of Muhammad Ali's family is a great, great honor.
So I met my dad at the door, and he looks at me and he said, what's up, boy? And I just looked at him and my eyes just welled up. And I said, Dad, it's Muhammad. And he looked at me, he went, no. I was, come on, Dad, we're going to sit down. So we sat on the edge of the bed and we both just sat there. We hugged each other and cried. And then my dad went downhill very, very quickly. 10 months later, he passed away. It brings back memories of what my dad said and how true it was. When Muhammad goes, I'll be going soon after. And he did, 10 months later.
It's a strange coincidence that Howard Bingham died in 2016, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
His other great friend.
There were rabbis, there were priests, there were ministers, there were Baptist ministers. Everybody was there. Everybody. And that's how he planned it. I want to go through my old neighborhood. I want my neighbors to be able to see me.
Everybody was together from all over the world. I met Jews hugging Muslims. I met people I'm still in touch with now that I only saw for 10 seconds. And we'd stop and we'd hug or shake hands, and they're still in my life. And that's your daddy.
Showing respect, shouting, screaming. They had Ali shirts on. They were chanting. I was like, this is the most beautiful thing in my darkest hour. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
We were watching it on TV thinking like, gee, that might be close to where we are. We ran down from the hotel. We just made it to that street corner with about 30 seconds to spare, and never been through something like that before. Never. The people were 5-6 deep on the sidewalks, and here came the hearse. Everybody was throwing flowers on the windshield. I don't know how the driver could drive because it was full of cut flowers. And I reached out and touched the hearse.
When we were driving from the funeral home to the cemetery, it was about 3 or 4 miles. It took us 2 hours to get there. Just driving and watching hundreds of thousands of people lined on the streets, I couldn't see the street. Like, I couldn't see what color the street was. It was people side by side, every single race, every single nationality, every single color, every single age. People were waving. I was in the car with my family and my boys and my twin. And when we lowered the window just to wave, I heard people chant, "Thank you." And I'm looking, why are they saying thank you? And later on, I said, oh, it came back to me being the selfish person. They're thanking me for sharing my dad. It was just so beautiful. My dad had a recurring dream. Daddy was in Louisville standing above a lot of people who were chanting. And he was flying above all. This was a recurring dream my dad had for many, many years. And he was flying above a lot of people. And they were chanting and he was waving at them. And when I saw the procession, when I was in it, I was like, this is Daddy's dream. So I know he was there. What a beautiful way to be able to bring together people from all over the world. They were from Australia, they were from the Middle East, they were from Africa, they were from all parts of the globe, China. Just some of them went broke. Some people were like, I don't know how I'm going to get home, but I'm going to get a one-way ticket. I'm going to just say farewell to the champ. Some of them never met him, but they felt like they knew him because that's what my dad did. He made you feel like you know him personally. Family. It is a unique gift. And I remember when we were driving to Cave Hill Cemetery, the weirdest thing happened. I saw a person in a hospital robe and he had an oxygen tank. I couldn't believe it. He left the hospital bed. We loved each other for the one day. There was over 200,000 people in the streets and there was no fighting. We were all saying goodbye.
We believe as Muslims, there are some people who are dams, as in a dam on a river, that block evil. I firmly believe Ali was one of those people that had the ability to block evil. And when these people are in the world, they impact the environment, the social, cultural, spiritual environment in a way that blocks evil. An example of that from in Louisville, which is a very dangerous place. A lot of gang activity, shooting, homicides. From the time Ali passed until the time he was entered into his grave, there wasn't a single shooting in Louisville. And as soon as he passed away, started right back up. He was one of those people that was able to block a lot of evil.
Sometimes when I'm going through some stuff and I feel down, my dad would come to me in a dream. I'll feel his presence. I'll just feel him watching me. And whenever I do feel that, I say thank you. It's a gift to be able to feel his presence again. Even if he comes and talks to me in my dreams, I wake up and thank you so much. Just like my dad said, I'm free to be who I want to be. You're free. You're really free. And the only thing that gives me solace is that he doesn't have Parkinson's anymore. He's healthy and he's beautiful. Every time he comes to my dream, he's young and pretty.
I don't have to be what you want me to be. I'm free to be what I want me to be and think what I want to think.
He's just unique. What he was doing seemed so outside the realm of the norm that he was alone. That's one of the things I respect most about him. He didn't take his cues from anybody. There's a universal theme to the feeling that is reflected back at Ali because he gave all of us something. When he passed, I took Taylor with me because I knew she'd have an understanding of it. There wasn't a lot of sadness. It felt like a celebration of life. Everybody is here to show their respect for this man and what he gave us. Paying it forward a lot of times is just keeping the story going so that people will never forget. Yes, yes, so people will never forget.
Generations from now, they're going to be talking about this.
Yes, generations from now, talking about this man. Yes, what was he like? I never saw him flinch. Never.
Stand-up individual, stand-up human being, and a proud black man.
We still talk about him. I say a week or doesn't go by that we don't have a conversation about Ali.
I'm so honored to have a piece of him with me. I feel like he's here now. He lives in us. His legacy is, without question, one of the greatest lives ever lived.
His eyes still sparkle. There was something about those eyes that no matter what happened to the rest of his body, his eyes never dimmed. The last time, it was hard for me to see him like that. But who am I to pity him when he ain't pitying himself? Nobody really understood how great he was. Because the greatness wasn't in the center of a ring or standing on a podium. When you're alone with him and understand that the principles and things he talks about, he really believed, that's what made him great. Here's a guy who has several times risked everything, even lost the title, and never shook on his beliefs. I think that it will take probably decades, if not centuries, for us to really understand how he shifted the culture. He redefined what success was. It's not about what you have. It's not about the awards they give you. It's what do you stand for? The Ali level of success.
How long will people know Muhammad Ali in this world? As long as there are human beings, he's going to be known.
As long as there are storytellers to keep the legend alive.
I see Muhammad as genuinely timeless. I think as long as there are people. I like the way that Craig said that. As long as there are storytellers, Muhammad will be known. The poetry of the name, the poetry of the deeds, the poetry of the man. He's going to pass into classic mythology. He's just not going to go away. I think it's world mythology. Who's known over the centuries? Wouldn't the poet Homer have loved Muhammad Ali? He would be a perfect character in the Iliad and the Odyssey. If people around just 50 more years or 50,000 more years, I don't know how long we're going to be here. If we get our act together, though, I think Muhammad's always going to be known by people. And there's always going to be storytellers. And boy, did he give us some good ones.
I never like to say I cannot. Once we say I cannot, we have made a suggestion to ourselves. We have weakened our power of accomplishing that which otherwise could have been accomplished. For one, to admit to yourself, I have no force, I have no thought, I have no intelligence, only means working against yourself.
I'm late. I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
The Tao of Muhammad Ali is produced by Imagine Audio for iHeart Podcast and hosted by me, Davis Miller. My co-host is Craig Mortali. Cara Welker, Mark Bouch, Nathan Clokey, Derek Jennings, and little old me, Davis Miller, are executive producers. Produced by Craig Mortali. Sound design and mixing by Juan Borda. Music by DJ Spar. And introducing a very good pal of mine, Isaac Miller. Additional music by William Ryan Fritch and also Luminescence track Nuage. Visit luminescentmusic.com to check out more from the band. I want to give a ring center thanks to our showrunner, Derek Jennings, for his masterful composition and for his passionate connection with this project. Just one more thing I'd like to say. There's no beginning and no end to my stories about Ali. Muhammad has made my life bigger, broader, deeper, and stranger than I could have ever imagined. And there's so many more stories I'd love to share with you. Big, timeless, universal stories. If you'd like us to do that, let us know at writerdavismiller.com and we'll do our best to get them out there to you in some form, maybe in a second season of this podcast. Thanks for listening.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency.
Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.